Hey, hey, it's your man Marcus M. Positive Parker, and you are listening to Heart and Mogul Network Radio, giving a global voice to your creativity.
All right, you can start inviting folks because we are live.
I got you live,
girl. We live. Welcome, everyone, to NIT. As you can see, I'm over here trying to fix a camera because I will never, ever be a cameraman. All right. You guys can see us. Hello and welcome to NIT.
Yeah.
How's everyone doing? We started a little early, so I can get you guys to do me a favor. Click down below, and invite your friends, share the post, invite everyone you possibly can. And also, if you know any business owners, small business owners, nonprofits, community groups, invite them as well. Hey, Miss Geisela, I see you. I see Miss Latoya Cook. I see Anthony and Carolyn. Hey, guys, do me a favor, you guys. Invite friends and family. And we've got a couple of announcements, especially for small businesses, community groups, and nonprofits. So if you have a business or so, you're going to get to network right there in the comments. So we're going to take a few minutes and build an audience. I know some people hate that, but I'm an old lady, so it takes me a moment to make things happen. So, let me get around here. Y'all forgive me, I got on flats and everything today. I hope you guys can see us. Let's go in here. Let me make sure that I can check us out.
Business owners, nonprofits.
And I'll turn us down. Make sure you guys can see us. All right, guys. So, let me officially welcome you to NIT. Nothing is taboo. Tonight's topic and episode and all that good stuff is women, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, before we get started, let's send a couple of hugs and kisses and prayers out to our co-host, Miss Tanya Godsilo, who has had an emergency and just could not be on tonight. So we are praying for you, darling. I hope everything works out. You're definitely heavy in my prayers. Really quick, I gotta get my other phones. This is what happens when we start early. Keep talking to them, Kim.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Nothing is Taboo. So this topic tonight is going to be very, very exciting because we all know women who are very nice.
Well, mean, nasty. But before we get into our topic, while we build our audience, invite your folks, a couple of things. First of all, I want to thank you guys for tuning in every week and hanging out with us. Love you guys dearly. We appreciate you. So we decided to do something for all of our small business owners, community groups, and nonprofits. So last week we talked about D. Johnson of D. Johnson Photography and LGTV channel came up with. It's called The Gift. The Gift is his way of giving back. What it is a small business, a nonprofit, or community group. If you if you watch the show, comment below. Leave your business information, do some networking, talk about your business, all that good stuff. From last week's assortment and this week's, we're going to choose a winner. Now, that winner, what do they get? They get a fully produced commercial. I'm not even sure of the length. I think it's like 2 minutes long. That D. Johnson is going to do. We're going to produce it, distribute it, all that good stuff. But it's a great way to get you a marketing jumpstart. So, again, comment below, business name, links, website, contact, any information you need, if you logo, photo, whatever you want to put in the comment, it's fine with us. If you see a business you think you want to connect with, by all means, connect with them, network, and all that good stuff. And then, again, you guys invite folks because we're building the audience.
Invite.
Yes, invite everybody you know. Even invite the people you don't like. I understand how that can be. And if you know any businesses, be sure to tag them. Let them know what we're doing. And I'll talk about the gift again in a minute, but I kind of want to let you early viewers know what we were doing.
Build your audience. Invite people to like our page.
All right. Whew. Girls having hot flash, y'all. Because we're talking about women, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I'm sure all of us ladies have experienced being treated a little rough by other women. being, I guess, devalued, minimized, you know, some of the negatives. And I'm not saying all women are negative, not at all. What I'm saying is we've all experienced some negative issues. So we wanted to talk about that and just kind of explore the whys and the hows. So before we get in that, let's talk about current events because we have a lot of stuff going on. Of course, the shooting is heavy on my mind and everybody's heart. I'll be honest, when the story broke and then I started to get facts, you know, all I could think as a mother was about my kids, you know, going to school. School is supposed to be safe. You are not supposed to be afraid in school. I mean, I can't remember being in school, and the biggest worry I had, even if it was a bully, it was not if they were going to do anything drastic to me. It was, you know, are we going to fight after school? Other than that, I can't remember having any issues like that. So now when you see school shootings have become so
normal.
Yeah, the norm. You said that a couple weeks ago. The abnormal has become normal. Has become such a way of life for us. It's almost like we're desensitized. Because what I noticed is when the story broke, of course, everybody was sharing posts on social media and they're talking about it. We go through that cycle again. You talk about it. Then it quiets down. Then it happens again. People get upset. They talk about it. Quiets down. Happens again. And I think here we are, February the 15th. We've had 13 school shootings just this year. So it's February the 15th, so let's go ahead. Not even 8 weeks in, and we've already had 13 school shootings.
And in every school shooting, the AR-15 was used. I think it's up to two.
Now that I didn't, so the same gun has been used?
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh. Well, I mean,
So we're talking about the need to outsource those assault rifles. They're just, for me personally, they're just not weapons that I think the average citizen need, you know, so.
Well, I mean, just to hear that at every shooting, the exact same type of gun was used. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist in most cases, but that's not a coincidence. I'm sorry. And you're right. I agree. First off, if you feel like there's something going on in your life where you need assault rifles and a semi-automatic gun, what you got going on? I mean, that's just, and I agree, the average citizen, that's not something you need to have walking around with. And then this boy, from what I understand, from what I've read so far to this evening, he was expelled from that school, or he left the school for disciplinary reasons, and they kind of had gotten some wind that they may have an issue with him. So I don't know if the school did anything preventative. I don't know if they put something in place. Of course, that was my first question, was if you thought that was going to be an issue, why wasn't it addressed? But of course, as the story develops, I'm sure details will come out. And I never want to just say, why did they do it? Because I really don't know what they've done. This is a situation, just as a parent, it's very scary to even think that it's possible that I would send my child to school and I'll see him again. School is supposed to be safe. Now, I personally feel like all doors need to be locked. I have no issue with that at all.
I'm just glad that my kids are in their 30s and I don't have kids in school now, because one of my coworkers today talked about what it was like. She got ready to drop her kids off at school today for the first time in a very, very long time. She's always been fearful, but today she was really just overwhelmed with anxiety, with fear, wondering if they would be safe. And so the same thing, you know, that happened in Florida could happen here. I don't know if you've seen today where the Bullitt County student thought it was cute to send a note talking about what he was going to do in the school. They arrested his nice butt and got him some mental health evaluations. But as soon as they heard that he mentioned it, the police in Bullitt County took swift action, and he was taken into custody for even talking about it.
That's what, and, you know, it's sad that we have to have a conversation, because I have to tell my kids, and, you know, I got one in high school, but then I have a little one. I have one in first grade. And, you know, the conversation, of course, was more difficult with Ian because, you know, he's seven. And I said, you know, if you see anything, if something looks dangerous, if somebody says they want to hurt you, you need to tell your teacher. But it used to be when I remember, even when my oldest was 23, okay, when she was in school and I had that kind of conversation with her, it wasn't about guns and stuff. It just might be somebody's going to fight, somebody's got drugs, you know, that kind of stuff. Now we're into a time where the conversation is so, it's scary to have to have, but it is a requirement. You need to tell your child that. And then, you know, I look at my son Ian, who is a kid, you know, he's seven, he's a little boy. And see, so he's the type, another boy have a gun, and we play him a gun, you know, that kind of stuff. They watch movies, they watch superheroes. So it's a scary situation. I do believe, like I said, A lot of people get upset. I believe we should keep the resource officers in school. I have no issue with them being there. I know there are people that are fighting to have them removed. I don't agree with removing them. You know, I try to operate in truth. And the truth is, we live in a society where those things, unfortunately, are needed. Now, I say we keep them in place, and we can work on the issues of why we have to have them there, but I don't feel like removing them is going to help. I want my kids to feel safe at all times. As a parent, I want to feel safe sending my kids to school. So, I don't know. This shooting, it was something. I watched the interviews. I saw that the coach who basically gave his life to protect those kids, and he jumped in front of the bullet, and he was alive before he went into surgery. He died, passed in surgery, right after surgery. But it's just something that an educator, who normally you get up, you go to school, or you go to work to teach. Well, now you've got to worry about gun control. You've got to worry about other ways. And everybody I know who's an educator, I come from a family of educators. You know, I got my grandmother taught most of the folks I grew up with. I got aunts and uncles and friends and family who are educators. The folks I know, they get up, and their goal is to make a difference and to educate our kids. So for them to have to go in and worry about those type of things, that's a whole nother level for them. Then you got kids worried about. So now schools become a place of fear. And I mean, I was really concerned today when my kids went to school, and especially my oldest was in high school, because these kids, you know, of course, they're more apt to be able to get their hands on weapons. So I agree with you. Nobody should be able to get the kind of gun. I did not know that every shooting involved the same type of gun.
And you know, one of the things, you know, I'm all for resource officers being in the schools, but I've been in so many schools, really, in Jefferson County, where the resource officers are so antagonizing with the students. I mean, so just to really watch them interact and try to upset kids just really, you know, upset my spirit. If you've ever been in Breckenridge Metro and you've watched the interaction with some of the police and the kids, it's just not a healthy environment. You know, Miners Daniels, Mr. Dillard, that's an alternative school, but you can feel the love as soon as you walk in the room. For me personally, you know, not so much in Breckenridge, you know, so.
Well, you know, then I guess the thing for me when I hear from that, then there needs to be a revamping of how we choose these resource officers, how we train them, who we give that position to. Because when you're dealing with kids, yes, you need special training. And, you know, I'm just now seeing certain police officers, certain departments in certain cities who are doing autism training and just different things. These are issues that, of course, are in the school system all over the world. So when I hear that, like I said, I want to keep resource officers because as a parent, I want my child safe. As a child, and if I was sitting in the school, I want to feel safe. But I do think those things need to be addressed. It needs to be revamped. There needs to be a better way to choose the most appropriate officer. Because not everyone wants to deal with kids. I respect that because I don't want no job with kids. I got kids. So I think people should be able to be honest and say, well, you know what? I know y'all want to put me on this beat, but I don't want to work with these kids. I got my own kids at home who get on my nerves. I can respect that. That's not everybody's thing. They need to have special training how to deal with children. Psychologically, physically, and at the same time, I need for parents to be honest. If your children are bad and your kids are in school causing an issue, if your kids are bringing guns, if they're threatening and fighting, they've gone from being this innocent child to now being someone who is causing an issue for everybody else. So you can't get mad when the resource officer has to tackle your kid because your kids want to swing on and fight. Sometimes we have to look at situations. As a mother, and if I found out my child was doing that, my mother always told me, some shit you bring on yourself. That's just my thoughts. That's just, I know, and I'm telling you, and please send your hate mail to www.shakewolfolk.com and address it hate mail. Doesn't bother me at all. That's just my thoughts. And, you know, you might have something different. I know you work with kids, but I'm not, as a parent, if I get a call and they tell me my daughter's in there swinging on somebody, and then I look at the video and say, oh, you was just showing out. I'm not getting on TV. Oh, my God, my baby was a good girl. She did. No. The fact is, you was in there acting like a donkey. And somebody swung and knocked your ass out.
And I work with kids. And, you know, I had a little girl the other day. You know, she's like, you know, I spit in people's face.
And so
I'm standing there. And I said, you really just haven't spit on the right person.
You got that right.
And she was like, but I spit on people. And I said, well, I'm just going to say it one more time. You just really haven't spit on the right person. And the conversation kind of ended because I was very stern. Like, you just haven't spit on the right person. And I think so many times, you know, we know who our kids are. And, you know, I've been in schools where I'm in the school doing something. And parents show up ready to fight. not even knowing what happened, just based on a phone call from their kids. And so if you know who your kids are, when the school, like I got four kids, you could tell me whatever about my twins and my son, and I know what they are and ain't gonna do, and I know what's in their character and what's not. But my youngest daughter, you tell me something, I know what I know, and I know.
But I can,
I know who she is because she's my daughter, and all she is a mini version of me when I was younger. So you know, Brittany, you know, I love you. But you just have to know who your kids are. And I think so many times we want to act like we don't know. And then we want to get mad at other people. And, you know, do I justify some of the stuff that the police do? Absolutely not. You know, I had a kid on my caseload that had a fight at school and couldn't graduate and couldn't go to senior activities. And he had never been in trouble before. But a resource officer antagonized him, had a fight, broke the guy's thumb. And they took him all the way to grand jury. And he had never been in trouble before in his life, and they really wanted him to be convicted of a felony. And he ended up getting diversion, and he's doing real well. But what if they'd have really got what they want, to give what they wanted, to make him a convicted felon over a fight that happened in high school? You know, and they really pushed it. And I really believe, you know, they pushed it because he was a black kid.
Yeah, and well, Nancy, then that takes me. My saying is, I like to operate in our truth. A lot of folks deal in hope, and trust me, hope and faith has gotten on. But the truth of the matter is, with a black young man, a black man, you got a different set of circumstances. And when you don't have that, right, if you don't have that conversation with your kid, you know, just because little Timmy and Cody's over acting a donkey, Jerome, don't you do it. Because your consequences are going to be different. And what happens, like I said, you get in a system that just changes your life. So every chance you had is now gone. And it's not fair. It needs to change. But if you're not telling these kids the truth, they think, oh, I can do whatever. And you're talking about this little girl talking about she's spitting on folks. Now, see, there is a level of just disrespect across the board there. It used to be when we were younger, you wouldn't dare. You made
it hard to have that conversation with a grown person.
And even if you was talking shit, you wasn't going to talk it where your mama's friends and your grandma and other adults could hear it because you was just talking mess. But these kids now, they feel like they can do whatever. They don't see value in themselves. They don't love themselves, so they don't love other people. And like I said, she has not spit on the right. Because I'm going to be honest with you. At 43 years old, your little 67-year-old daughter spit on me. I'm going to slap shit out of her.
And the sad part about it is a lot of our kids today are not surrounded by adults who love themselves. So I can't transmit something I don't have. So I can't have loving, kind kids if I'm not a loving, kind person. I can't be a loving, kind person if my mother wasn't a loving, kind person. So you have three generations of people who are not loving and not kind. And that doesn't make them bad people. They just don't know what they don't know. Like, my kids are grown. They still kiss me on my cheek. We still loving. We still kind. And every now and then people are kind of looking like, y'all still do that? And I'm kind of like, yeah, you know. I grew up with hugs. I grew up with parents who hugged me and loved me and stuff. And I just can't imagine, you know, I deal with a population that I might be the only positive adult. And, like, we have a thing on the questionnaire that says, name one adult in your life who's loving and kind of supportive who's not family. And we actually have people who cannot write anybody, which makes me super sad.
You know, we grew up in the time where everybody in the neighborhood knew your business, could tell, you know, tell your grandparents, your mother, whatever, what happened. We had one lady, Miss Lynn, bless her heart, God rest her soul. She was everybody's mama. She told everybody's business. Now, was Miss Lynn always in the mix? We knew. But at the court, she loved all of us. And if we got hurt, if you fell in the street, she's calling your mom. If you did something you went wrong, she's calling your grandmama. So even though everybody was mad, she did it because she didn't want to see us get harmed. But you're right. A lot of these kids don't have it in their parents because those parents didn't have it. A lot of these parents had these kids so young that they don't have the ability to actually be parents. They're so focused on being friends and doing this and making sure the kids have the latest this and that instead of parenting them and telling them what's right and what's wrong. So then that 15-year-old girl becomes a 25-year-old woman who wants to spit on folks. Now, she can't hold a job because she ain't like what her boss said, so she decided to hark up and spit on her. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you're fired. Now, if you go get another job, they're not going to hire you because you spit on somebody in the last one. Now you spit on the wrong person at the airport. Now you got a federal charge.
And then you have a generation of kids with a sense of entitlement.
Oh, my God, yes.
And you have a group of parents who parent out of guilt. You know, you buy your son $200 tissues because his dad's gone away, not in prison, he's grown up without a father. Let me tell you something. I know a bunch of people who grew up without their fathers, and they went on to be great people. You know why? Because back in the day, it was a village. So they were surrounded by, okay, your daddy's gone, we your Uncle Joe, we your Uncle Tony. And if you do something while we out here, you know, we going to get with you. And so now you can't even really say nothing to people's kids because people really want to act crazy. And so we're losing generations of young people simply because they have not been taught and they have not been spoken. Nobody's really spoken into their purpose. Mm-hmm. You will not imagine when you tell a young person that you can do this, you can go to college, and you watch them get the GED, and then you watch them come back with a U of L ID or a JCTC or a Spalding, and they have their ID in their hand, and they're so happy. And I say, what'd your mom say? She said, okay, when you get your school money. You know, which kind of like is a whole nother conversation. But, you know, for anybody who's watching, you know, I challenge you, if you see a young person, they sag and they don't look like you think they should look, speak into their purpose. You might be the only positive person that they see.
Well, let me ask you this, since you were a kid. Here we go, and I'll say before we get into women. Have you ever had any kids come to you that were so angry they wanted to harm a bunch of other folks, like what we see in the school shooting?
Yeah.
That level of anger.
Yeah, but one of the things that we talked about today and you see in the school shooting, you don't see a lot of black kids killing a bunch of kids in school. Now, they out in the community shooting and killing each other. But, you know, if you go back and look at all the mass shootings, I don't think not one of the killers have been African-American ever. And so we're seeing a lot of black-on-black crime. And one of the things that the police said is black-on-black crime is magnified. Just as many white people kill each other as black people. It's just not talked about because black people killing each other is a lot more story and a lot more ratings for media to talk about black-on-black crime versus white people killing each other. Like, if you look at the stats, a black man might kill another black man, but very seldom do they go home and kill their wife and kids and themselves. A white man will kill his wife, kids, and then kill himself because he's not going to be able to do the time that comes along with it. A black man will kill his wife and then sometimes call the police on himself. And that's just the reality of it that we're seeing. So when we encounter angry kids, you know, we have access to counseling, therapy. I think I work with an amazing team of people. And, we've had people, you know, somebody in my office today would have a fight with one of his friends. And I said, so can you tell me how the fight took place? Because when I met you, I met him, and y'all were friends. And he said, you know, it's a level of respect the way people speak to you in the street now. And I said, so I grabbed another coworker. Can you, like, explain to us where the line becomes crossed with the level of respect? And so young people now, it's about your tone with me. You know, I feel like your tone is disrespectful. And I'm kind of like, so you want somebody to kill you because you want to go crazy because their tone is not up to what? So what you might label as disrespectful might not be disrespectful because people think I got a really strong personality. And if you weak and I'm not going to apologize because that's who I am. And so that's your issue, not mine. And so, you know, I work on my delivery. Everybody who knows me know I work on my delivery, but I'm not going to change who I am because you have a problem with it. And so I think for the community to heal and for the nation, for the world to get better, period, we have to get a level of acceptance with everybody that we encounter and not really try to change people and make them something that they're not.
Well, then too, think about kids. One of the biggest things that's come into play with how kids, so, and I'm listening to you talk about this child and he didn't like the way somebody said something. Social media. They don't have the art of conversation. So what you think is disrespectful or tone, a lot of them, they don't have those social skills. They don't have the ability to read somebody's body language and see what's going on. So that lack of social skills, the lack of the ability to interact and have a conversation, that plays a role. Then you go in entitlement, and I totally agree there. They feel so entitled and that they can do whatever without any consequences. And a lot of that goes back to parents who don't want to tell these kids no. And I like what you said, parents down to guilt, because that's what it boils down to. And it also boils down to these parents don't want to face the fact of where they messed up, their flaws.
And then, you know, I can't expect a 16-year-old girl not to be angry and aggressive if I'm on 28th and Broadway and her mom's out there fighting somebody.
Right. Oh, yeah.
How do I even bridge that gap and navigate that when they come from a very violent environment. So
and it's not, and all the times I've seen things on the news, and this parent got on the bus because they were always accompanied by other family members. And you know, a lot of kids, for the record, I think my mom was watching. Thank you for not being that mama. Was not out. You just don't understand. I grew up with some folks.
And happy birthday, Miss Wolfhawk, tomorrow.
Yes, I was going to give her a shout out later, but Kim ruined that because I'm going to give her a special shout out. I was going to sing, but I'm not now. I'm good. She knew I can't sing. But, you know, you see these parents that when here comes the mama fight, then here comes her mama, then the auntie, and it'll be, oh, the stupidest stuff. Now they want a gang. It's a whole in cluster. But I think every neighborhood only had one of those. We had one family, and they lived right next door to my grandparents. Now, they didn't bother us. You know, there was a level of respect. Nobody messed with Miss Rose, because my grandmother taught everybody. But now, it's like, that's everywhere. I'm like, damn, your mama act like that. So, I agree. You can't expect something different from kids who've never seen anything different at this point. But they also have to realize, life still goes on, the world still goes around, there's still consequences. So just because you don't think that way, don't see that way, doesn't mean those same consequences. So you'll cross like a little girl spitting on somebody. You're going to spit on the wrong person, they're going to knock your face off.
I talked to somebody today, and they were talking about fighting and being friends. And I said, man, I come from the school where if me and my friends get in a physical fight, we ain't friends no more. Right. Because if it gets to the point where it gets physical, we're done. If me and my friends get into an argument that turns into us really calling each other out of each other's name and being very disrespectful, we're going to evaluate that relationship because that's not what real friends do. And so I think people have gotten away from genuine friendships. Social media has allowed people to become whoever they wanted to become behind the computer screen. A lot of these murders and arguments and stuff are taking place because people are typing stuff in on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram that they would never say to people's face. That turns into something because it's a level of disrespect. That's what I call cyberspace bullies. And that turns into something. And then people really get hurt. You know, back in the day, I don't get caught up in people. I got people my age who I know who still fight, who still act crazy, and who still go to church on Sunday. And I'm just kind of like looking at them like, are you really 56 out here street fighting with somebody 40? Are you really still having fights like that over a dude that y'all both mess with? Are you really still living like that and you're somebody's grandmother? So I believe in just really, I think our city and the nation, the world period would change if we became willing to have honest conversations. Just that are so uncomfortable till they force you to do something else.
Well, a lot of folks don't want honesty. They don't want to have honest conversations.
I do.
They don't want to face truth. Instead, we want to blame everything. And y'all know how I feel. And I said, I have such a problem when we throw out things like race cards or to justify just the screwed up choices. Instead of saying, this was a messed up situation, a messed up, how do we fix it? I hate laying blame. I hate mediocrity. I hate just anything where we don't take, you know, not being accountable. Because until we're accountable, just like parents, they got to be accountable. Someone raised this generation of kids. You know, I I've raised some this age. And I tell my daughter all the time, my job is to be your mom and not your friend. And that, even my grown one. And if she's watching, she's probably not watching because she doesn't want to hear it. My job is to be your parent. I should be the first person telling you if you're doing something wrong. I'm not interested in being your friend so we can hang out and take pictures. And these mothers doing it. And I said this last week, and I'm sorry, y'all. But these mamas, y'all getting on Instagram taking these booty pictures with your daughters, that ain't cute. There is absolutely nothing cute about that. You know, if I saw one post on Instagram, the mama was a stripper and the daughter was a stripper, I said, oh my God.
Or allowing your teenage daughter to date these older drug dealers because it's beneficial for you. Because it happened.
Pimping your baby out because that's what you're doing.
Because it happens. And so we're talking about, you know, we talk about human trafficking and how people are doing our kids and stuff. If you're allowing your 14-year-old daughter to date a 21-year-old man who's got drugs and money and it benefits you and other people in your family, you're basically trafficking out your daughter.
You just put your baby on the stroll. I'm going to call it what it is. You pimping your baby out. Oh, my goodness. But, I mean, I'm not surprised. That, you know, we're going on topic, but I have run into women, mothers, who son's dealing drugs, the daughter's dating drug dealer. The mamas are so concerned about what these kids are buying. And, oh, look at this purse I got. I got an MK purse. I got this. I got that.
But you live in Park Hill.
Right. So, you know, my mouth can
nothing
be sick.
Against Parker.
And I had, you know, conversation. This woman was telling me, and actually, I mean, I know her. But she just started talking and croaking. She was talking about all stuff. And I guess my new bird came out. And I said, what have you achieved in life? I said, your achievement is that everybody in your house is a drug dealer. And you proud of that. When we, as a society, think that's okay, there's a whole lot of things you need to. Right. And she was like, who the hell? I mean, she was going on. And I cared. I meant what I said. If you think that's okay, then we have bigger issues.
So the abnormal has become normal.
Yep.
Because back in my day, if you knew somebody who smoked weed, you better not tell your mama.
You know,
let alone
right.
somebody who sell it. You know, so I just think the abnormal has become normal. Society has gotten to a point. Like, I don't know about you, but I used to like see murders and it would devastate me. I'm like, oh my God, somebody got killed. So, and now when I see them, it's just kind of like, what is really going on? And I'm not going to say I'm desensitized to the crime because I'm not, because every time we lose somebody, we all lose somebody. But what used to be shocking to me is not shocking to me anymore.
Mm.
These school shootings are not shocking to me. They're just not. You know, white privilege.
Well, oh, and then the photo of the guy, as they take him into custody and he's laying on the ground. And I don't know, my first thing I said, so he gets to go into custody alive.
After killing
after shooting 17 innocent people.
And Tamara Rice gets killed at 11 years old for having a toy gun in the park.
And it was the most, at that very moment, it was a real sobering moment. It was a very angry moment to even see the image, because all I could think was, ain't this some shit?
And Dylan Rudolph goes into church and kills everybody.
Oh, and you gotta understand, I have a very special, a very sensitive outlook when it comes to things that has to do with special needs, mental health, and things like that. I have a son with special needs. So when you start trying to use, well, maybe he's got a development. When you start trying to use that as an excuse to justify somebody's evil act, you have offended me on a level you will never know, because it's a journey. If you don't live it, you don't know it. And so I read a post, people saying, well, you know, we think he might have had some mental defects. Then I read the story where he had been training with a white supremacist group, and they've acknowledged this.
Mm-hmm. They acknowledged
so, that. And you got to understand, special needs is pretty much my life. This has been my journey for the last 7 years. That was the most offensive thing I read, because what you're not going to do is folks with, who actually have genuine mental or developmental issues to give this little boy who's just getting white privilege to let him off so y'all can walk him. And I read a post, and one woman was so angry, and it was white, and she said, you know, here he is, he's taking all these lives, and you all just as nice, you know, you get him. And she said, did y'all take him to Chick-fil-A before you took him to jail? Because it seemed like y'all were just treating him just so wonderful. This is a violent crime. That's a terrorist. But then, of course, then we get Trump talking about build the wall. We don't have to worry about nothing on any other side of the wall. We have terrorism right here. Nobody, they never want to address that. They never want to address the white terrorist, the white male, who nobody is talking about, who's angry and doing all these violent shootings, doing all these violent acts. Because we've had some horrifically violent things happen these last months, from the Las Vegas shooting to the school shooting. And it's horrible. And we all live in a constant state of fear, but at the same time, it happens so much, it's become a way of life. I remember in the 80s growing up when they were having the war in Beirut, and remember every night on CNN or on the world news, they would have pictures of Beirut. And people, you know, even though shells were dropping, they were still, you know, just kind of, it was life for them. I kind of feel like we live in a warless war. Right now, there's no weapons being dropped, but we all live in fear, but we're so used to it, it's not... I don't even think it really catches our attention like it should. Yeah, everybody's upset, but everybody will be upset. Then it all broke my nail, y'all. Then we'll move to, then it'll get quiet. Then we'll go back to the same. It'll happen again, and we'll just keep on that cycle, in that circle. And I don't know how to get on my little tangent about
and I, you know, and I really believe until we address the trauma in our communities, because, you know, black trauma, white trauma, trauma's real. Keep we have going. Some traumatized kids. Not just kids, we have some traumatized adults. And so if you let a little boy who you know is broken grow up and be a grown man, all you have is a broken adult. And so they cannot address their issues as adults because they feel like it makes them weak. You know, I never forget, I went to see a young man in jail who is charged with murder. And, you know, I go back, you know, I get to go into jail. So I walk back in his dorm and I'm like, come on out, and how you doing? He's like, I'm Gucci, I'm straight. I said, let's step over and have a real conversation. I said, now, you're looking at 60 years and I'm going to be dead when you get out. Don't tell me you're Gucci and you're straight. That's a persona that you have to keep up in front of the other inmates. You're never going to eat Christmas dinner with your mother again. Let's have a real conversation. And he started to cry. And so my message to young men is stop trying to fit in when you was born to stand out. Stop trying to fit in. You're talented. You're valuable. You're amazing. You're great. Your life is worth something. And so we really want you to do good things with your life.
Mm. Well, then let's... We ain't got on our topic yet. So let me say this, because you know I always got to say something, give me some hate. To anybody out there that has these programs, organizations, and you're saying that you're working with youth, that you're trying to help them, but your whole motive is to get your grant money or use it as a facade, shame on you. Really shame on you. To see this many kids running around in need, these many families hurting, and let's just branch out even more so from kids. Any organization, if you're designed, you're supposed to be helping the community, help improve the community, helping with changing the lives of others, and you're using that just to get a little glory, get your picture taken with whomever for photo ops. Shame on you. That is probably, it's just disgusting. That's my little pissed off point of the week. Write that down. What we're going to start calling pissed off point of the week.
And what I want to say is somebody who works for a nonprofit, that it's a lot of organizations doing a lot of good work. And here's the deal, and it's a lot of resources in this community, and we can't hand deliver them to people. You know, people want help, but they want to tell you how to help them. And so I work for an organization that I really believe has an impact in this city and really impacts kids' lives in a positive and productive manner. And, you know, we're going to continue to do the work. And, you know, like Shay said, if you're a nonprofit that's doing it for likes and pictures and all kind of different stuff, really shame on you. And here's what I'll tell you about the community. The community really knows when you don't care. No matter what you say, no matter what it looks like, people know when you don't care.
And with that being said, if you are on here and you have a nonprofit or community group or a small business, don't forget, network in the comments. I'm pointing below with my broken nail. Right there in the comment section, put your information, whether it be your logo, photo, website, social media, anything you want to share, because we are working with LGTV.com with D. Johnson to bring you the gift. And what the gift is he wanted to give back, so he's decided one lucky business or nonprofit or community group a month. So we're doing this for all of 2018. We'll get chosen and they will get a free commercial. That means, and I'm not talking your dad and your uncle with a selfie stick. This is an entire production crew, studio, whatever, you know, how we work it out. I'm saying that for a reason, because here's the thing. If you're a small business, understand, if you go cheap, you look cheap. If you don't put anything into your business, people know. And I'm not saying that to put folks down. I'm telling you, 23 years of marketing, understand, people, they see things. I want to see you guys who have a small business or an organization or a group realize that you got to put a little effort into it. I want you to be creative. I want to see you grow an audience so that you can grow your business or your group. So the reason I'm saying that is put your information so you too will have a chance to win a full-fledged, professionally produced commercial, because you can grow your business. You'll be able to use it on television, your website, everywhere. It'll be yours, and it's not going to cost you anything. So here's an opportunity for you to gain a global audience, because I'm definitely going to put it on LGTV.com. I'll put it on my networks. We're going to get you together. So again, down below, down there in the comment section, put your stuff, network, put all your business information. I just got to get that plug in, because if I don't, they'll get me. And then we need to move on to our topic, because we'll stay on this online, because I got some strong feelings. We're going to continue it next week, though, y'all. So tonight's topic, and I'm going to tell you how, I know they might be watching. I don't have my glasses on, so I don't know if they are. I picked this topic. It's called Women, Stereotypes, and Female Betrayal, Why Women Hurt Each Other. So the title of today's show is Women, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. But what made me, one of the things, because I thought it was funny, I was riding my phone room and somebody butt dialed me. During this butt dial, they were talking about me, a whole group of women. And I mean, they talk about me like a dog. Now, if you know me, you know I have a very odd sense of humor. So I find probably the most inappropriate things funny, or I can find humor in anything. So you got to understand, about 5 minutes in, after like the second or third yellow bitch, this is that, I'm laughing hysterically because it was funny. And in my mind, I'm thinking, man, this is going to be a good, like, Saturday Night Live type skit. But I thought about it, and, you know, years ago, that would have affected me a different way. Now, it makes me laugh. But then I got to think, why do women do that? Why do women feel like it's okay to harm other women? And when you think about it, you know, there's a stereotype. You can't put a bunch of black women in the same room, or you can't put a bunch of women in the same room, period. Women can't get along. Women are bitchy, complaining, negative. I mean, all these stereotypes. And you don't just hear it from men. You'll hear it from women as well. And the truth is, there's truth in a lot of that, because there's always seems to be an issues when you put some women together. And I'm not saying all women are like that. But, lady, we get older, we get hormonal. Some of us are bitchy, and we just don't want to know it. I think we all can be one of those at times. But the question, and these are some things I was going to throw out since my other call is not here. You can answer more of them. Because I was reading a study, and the study was saying, and I read exactly what it said, it was a study that said, women first size you up, literally, and decide whether you're things like fatter than them, cuter than them. Then they follow up with a list of like other physical things that they see in their competition, from breast size to manicures to whether you have tattoos and blah, blah, blah. So I was reading this study, and it was talking about more than physical, but it was talking about women, how we immediately see a woman and judge her. We judge her looks, we judge her hair, we judge everything. And before she's even opened her mouth, we've already got this opinion about her. And so that was what prompted me to come up with some of these reasons why. And so one of the very first one, and just reading the study and some other articles, and it was saying that, and I pulled these things from staff. I didn't just make them up. I don't want y'all to think that I'm being a bitch. They said women, they get threatened. So, I mean, have you been in that situation? Let's be real. I mean, women, you put a bunch of women together and somebody feels threatened. That may come out as her being nasty, being a bitch to somebody.
And here's what I say when I'm in a situation when people come crazy to me. I say stuff like, what's really going on with you? What's really going on with you that makes you act like that? Where I'm strong enough to be willing to give you some pushback about your behavior. What about the women in the room that are fragile? And so we have to be really careful how we do people, because you never know what battle anybody's fighting. And yes, as women, you know, some are vindictive, some are jealous. You know, I know what it's like to, I'm going to talk about me. I know what it's like to be in a miserable state in my own life that I'm so jealous of other people. And when I got healthy and started to take care of Kim Moore, everybody's life that I thought was good, I really found out that it wasn't. Everything I thought I wanted was something that I didn't want. And at the root cause of all my pain was jealousy and low self-esteem on my part. So when I encounter those women today, you know, I have a spiritual advisor. When I encounter those women today, here's what I say. Oh, how they must suffer. Mm-hmm. Just being them.
Just being them.
And that in itself stops me from getting to that angry place. Because if that's how you live 24/7, sizing people up, being jealous, being threatened, being envious, that's a hard way to live. And ask me how I know. I did it. You know, so I've done some internal work on Kim Moore. So I always like to say, topics that we're getting ready to talk about, I've experienced that. I know what it's like to want somebody's life, for people to look happy, and then you get healthy and you start to take care of your own emotions. Your mental state, your spiritual state, and then you look at those. Then I sit back today and I kind of chuckle when I get on Facebook and see some of these lives that people say they live in. And I'm kind of like, oh, Lord, I remember. I wanted to be just like that. And so then it brings you peace. And I'll tell you what, comparison is the killer of dreams. When we compare ourselves to other people. And so it's always going to be somebody smarter, prettier, funnier, cuter, and nicer than you. And so just don't compare yourself to people. And, you know, and it'll be good.
And, you know, I'm the type, I've gotten to the point in my life now. Like I said, I had to get comfortable being alone. And I made a post of it. I have become like a loner. And it's not personal. It's just, I like to be alone. Because I work so much.
Yeah, if we go out of town, we all got to drive separate cars.
I drive separate.
She like driving separate. And I do too.
Yeah. I mean, too. I don't know what to tell people. If you get mad because I got to sleep alone, I don't know what to tell you. If we ain't mad, we ain't playing with each other. I'm just that's how I roll. It has nothing to do with anybody. I like to be alone. When I leave here, I go home and work. I don't need people around me. I don't like a crowd of folks. Believe it or not, with all stuff I do, I'm actually an introvert when it comes to work. I like to go home and work. So a lot of times when I make the choices to go somewhere alone or be alone, it's because in my mind, everything's work. It might not be work for you. That might generally be fun for you. I'm going to bore you to death because I'm over there taking notes, trying to get an interview. So how I bridge that, how I buffer that is, I don't subject people to my quirks. Mm-hmm. I know I am. So I'm like, well, I'm not gonna do this with this person, and they're not gonna have fun because I'm working. They're probably like, I ain't your damn assistant. Because at one point, I'm be like, well, take these notes. Since you want to come and you want to see what I do here, take these notes and then go. And then I mean about it, get these notes, hurry up, because this is work. So I'm not gonna subject folks to that. But also, the thing that I encounter a lot, and because I do go a lot of places by myself, I'll go to events and galas, and I'm the type, if it's work, it's work. I'm there at work. I got a ton of vision. Women can be so damn nasty. I was at one of the and I was hosting it. And they was talking about me like a dog. And they didn't know I was sitting there. When I got off stage because the band came up to play, I went through the dark, went around to them. They didn't know. Oh, she thinks she's cute. So I was like, well, I didn't, but thank you for letting me know you do. I mean, it's just a, but it's a group of women who literally did not know me. I couldn't, they know me from Canada Paint, I didn't know them. Didn't even know their names. Didn't care to know their names after all that. And I'm thinking, damn, y'all feel that kind of way? But it's something that I was like, you know what? I brought them closer together because they were able to come together and talk about me. So I created a bond and a friendship. So y'all can thank me later. Send your check to www.shakecablephone.com. Pay me by paper.
And in all actuality, you know, 3 years ago, I was at a gala for Derby. And, you know, somebody who's real prominent in this city said, oh, Kim, it's really good to see you here volunteering. And I was like, I'm at your table. He was like, oh, so you're our server. I said, no, I'm at your table. I'm your guest. And so, you know, I go to a lot of galas and a lot of times, and I hate to say it, sometimes people assume that I'm the help. And I'm kind of like, let me like step away for a minute, you know? So when it comes to women and stuff, I go to a lot of different things that women do. And one of the things that I want to do for me personally is I believe in lifting women up. And I done did the jealousy, the anger. I done did the angry friends. I done did the let's have dinner at my house so we can bitch and talk about people. I done did all of that. I just don't do all of that anymore. And of course, when you stop doing that, you got to find some people that don't do it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got to, you know, distance yourself from the people who still do it. And when you distance yourself from them, they will accuse you of all kind of stuff. Like you think you're better than. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm better than. But here's the good news. I don't think I'm better than, but today I don't think less than either. Today I think I'm just enough. And when you can wake up in the morning and know that you're just enough, that's where peace comes in. I was just kind of looking at some of Shay's stuff where it said they love to hate you. You know, I think some people, I have never said in the last year that I have haters. I don't think you have haters. I think you have fan club members who don't want to tell people that they like you. And so they'll have to act like they don't like you because they really like what you're doing. And so when I started on this journey doing some stuff in writing, I had to ask Shay some questions. If I want to do it the right way, you got to ask somebody to do it the right way. You got to like take your ego, take your pride out of it. Like Shay's a technology guru. She just told me before we started that I'm going to have to get you up. I could have a flip phone to be straight. You know, so, I mean, I'm really cool with that. Because I think people have gotten away from talking to people. And if you notice, women, when they're mad at you, they'll text you a big, long text message. And then when you see them in Kroger's, they'll be like, hey, girl. Mm-hmm. Which makes my blood pressure go up. So, you know, I think people need to talk more to each other and not about each other.
And see, I've become the type, you know, I can sit in a room alone. I can be in a room with folks and sit by myself, and I'm cool. And I, you know, you better... Maybe I'm just a bad person. My mouth is kind of slick. And I...
Her mouth ain't kind of slick. We ain't gonna do kind of. Her mouth is slick.
This is close to Sunday, but it's kind of slick, you know. But you say something too off-color, you might get an off-color comment back. Because here's the thing. I respect folks. And they tell you, I love people. I'm gonna talk to folks. I like to help people. But I don't do disrespect. Because see, I don't like to... I'm the person, if I'm sitting there and I see someone being disrespectful, I got to hear it come to their aid because I don't like that. Because what you're doing is... You are trying to minimize them as a human being. Mm-hmm. So I loathe disrespect. So you can't give me disrespect and think I'm not going to say nothing back. I don't want to see other people disrespected. Man, woman, black, white, I just don't. I can't do it. I can't sit there comfortably. If I'm in the grocery store behind somebody, and I was in Kroger's one day, and look, I go to her line all the time, that's the sweetest child ever. And this woman was just miserable. And she was treating this little girl, and it was, I think it was because the little girl was black. The stuff she was saying to her, it wasn't quite racist, But it was those kind of demeaning. And then it was a demeaningness to it in here. And it was basically like you said, people assume me to help. And it was the way she was talking to her. And I'm watching and I'm listening. Little girl was nothing but pleasurable. She was mannerable to her. You know, always, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Woman's throwing money. I mean, it was just horrible. And the girl kind of made a mistake. And then the woman started to get loud. And I don't know, something came over me. When I got through telling that woman off, then I called the manager over because before that woman could complain, I let the manager, I said, this young lady has been nothing but professional with her. I said, this woman has treated her horrible the entire time. Because what I'm not going to do is let that nasty, wicked person go up there and get this young lady in trouble and maybe cost her job or maybe damage her self-esteem so bad or embarrass her. She doesn't want to come back to work. So, yeah, I'm that person who got something to say all the time. I'm happy here on the grocery store. So if I'm in line behind you, you treat somebody wrong.
Okay? She's gonna say something.
And have no problem saying to you, the manager, and anybody else, don't do that. Don't demean. If I'm sitting with a group of women and y'all talking about somebody, I'm gonna say something then. So if I say something like, she's over here, y'all want me to go get her? Because if you put that much energy, obviously she needs to know what you think. And if you butt down me and you're talking about me, I might call you back. That's so funny. But that's what prompted this. And I mean, I heard some things about myself I didn't know. They weren't true, but I didn't know them, and I did take notes. So thank you. They're not watching. We might tag them later. But in this list, they talked about being jealous, and you talked about that. Oh, and then one of them, they said a lot of ladies can't tolerate why all the guys like you. So I've seen women, you know, here's a table of women, or you go out to a club, and a guy comes over, you know, and he's flirting with you, one friend. The other ladies get jealous. They don't want you to have a date. They don't want you to talk to somebody. I've seen it. You know, girl, you need to go away with him, girl. He ain't no good. And that's another thing. Ladies, I want to say this. Be careful who you start getting advice from, especially when it comes to your relationships and things. Because you got to understand, a miserable person is going to give you advice to put you in the same boat they are in. And men say this all the time, and I try not to, you know, sometimes men don't listen to your single girlfriend. It's not that. You need to look at the whole person. She don't have to be single. She can just be a miserable
person.
Don't
listen to your miserable girlfriend.
Yeah. And there's truth to that. So I can understand. I got a girlfriend whose husband got mad because a friend of ours says he was right. She was a miserable person. She didn't want to see you happy. So ladies, just realize that every woman's not your friend. Every person's not your friend. Please be careful who you get advice from. Because if you have a happy household, there's somebody out there who's jealous of that.
And if you're having problems with your husband or your boyfriend, don't discuss it with a whole lot of different people. Because what that does is it devalues your husband or boyfriend. It devalues the relationship. And the person that you're venting to, you could best believe they're going to tell somebody else. I think everybody who's watching has had a situation where they've casually mentioned something that somebody said, and you look up and 2 weeks later it's twisted around. Yep. People mad, people are hurt, people are angry, and we have to talk about that. And one of the things I know as women, we do, people, there's nothing wrong with having a competitive spirit when done from a good place. Yep. But when you're competitive to the point that you want to devastate the lives of other people so you could win, in all actuality, you have really lost.
Well, now, if we're going to touch on that, if you put things into place to harm mm-hmm. another woman, to break down what she's built, what she's doing, you are truly a minion of the enemy, of Satan. Those type of things, you know, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And how I look at things now, because I've had people do that, and y'all writing a movie about it, it is going to be funny because we're making a satire. But one of the things I learned, and I've been looking at everything as a life lesson, you got to go through some things. When people do things like that, one, use it to strengthen yourself.
Yes.
Use it as a build block. But know this, if you got somebody who is putting so much effort into doing something to destroy what you, use a bad memory jammer. Because you built something they can't. Because they want to get to what you're doing. So instead of them putting in the work or they realize they can't do that, they're going to try and destroy what you have. And I know I got some business ladies, and I specifically see a couple on here. Hey, ladies, who I know for a fact grind relentlessly for their businesses. So I'm saying that to y'all out there. A couple of you I've had some conversations with. But if you are working towards your dream, your vision, your business, your book, your whatever you're doing, and you got folks negative, they just want to beat you, boo. They want to do what you're doing. That means you're doing something right. Because if someone puts that kind of effort into harming what you did, obviously you've done a great job building something because it's so wonderful, they just got to have it. So don't allow that to get you off your mark. Don't allow that negativity and that jealousy, especially my ladies, because sometimes we're surrounded by women who just, negative women, they don't want to see you do good. You know, and now my advice to you is you need to change your circle. And I've had to drop folks. I've had to change. You know, I got a circle and I call my day ones. None of them want anything to do with the public life. But I talk to them every day. They are the very few people who can get me at any time. And if the phone, run right now, one of them, don't dare call me. Because I will answer. Because I know with them, it's never any BS. It's never anything other than what's going on. And, you know, you've got to really guard what you're doing. Guard your vision. Guard your business. And I see a couple of you ladies who I know for a fact that when I say they grind, I know they are really growing their business. So I'm really speaking to you. I want you to put a fence around yourself. I want you to get very protective. I want you to be okay changing the game and getting rid of some folks. And if there's some women in your circle who are jealous, because that's, we got 4 and 5, they love to hate you, they want to be, but they cannot. And that's where the insecurities and all that comes into play. Get rid of.
And then you got to understand, if people don't like you, it doesn't even mean that it has anything to do with you. And I think so many times when people mistreat us as women, we think it's because something is wrong with us. So I want everybody who's watching, listening, all the females that I know to know that just because somebody's being mean to you, that doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. And when people are angry and nasty to you, just look at them and say, oh, how they must suffer. And I got that from a lady who was so spiritual, who studied with the Dalai Lama and did all that stuff. And I used to call her up really complaining about how I'd been treated. And she, one day we was riding to Tennessee and she said, you know, I really want you to do something for me. She said, when people are mean to you from now on, I want you to say, oh, how they must suffer. She said, because what you have to understand, Kim, is you came out of the crack house, you did some amazing work, and you've done some good stuff with your life, and everybody's not happy where God has you at. So I need for you to bless them and pray for their suffering, because they're really suffering. And I never really thought about that. So when you think about people suffering due to being angry about your success, you know they have to be truly suffering. So, like Shay said, you know, I got some women, if they call right now, I probably wouldn't answer because I don't know why, but I probably wouldn't until after 9 o'clock, but I'll call them at 9:01. But one of the things I think about is I'm safe and secure with the people that I have around me now. You know, when I encounter them looks and them sneers and all that kind of stuff, you know, I just, even at work, I just kind of look at people. Because here's the deal. If you know me, you know for a fact there's only so much I'm going to let you say. And keep saying, oh, how you must suffer.
Right.
You know, it's only, you know how far to go. And so, you know, I'm from the street, but I'm not still street, but I can still be street if I have to be street. And so I just try not to put myself in those situations because I think a lot of people, when you have some success, and I ain't doing no more than, yeah, I'm doing a lot more than I was doing in 1998, you know, because I was in the crack house, you know, that's what I was doing. So I'm doing a lot more than I was doing 20 years ago, and people get angry. But what I don't do today, I don't minimize my gifts. I don't minimize the things that I get to do. But one of the things I don't do is I don't take it for granted, because I know in and of myself, I am sitting here beside Shay K. Wolfhawk, not because I'm so good, but because God is so good. And I think when people start to leave our life as women, we try to go back and get them. And I just have to get used to when God move them, I need to leave them gone because he moved them for a reason. And that's kind of like even with men, when we lose men, we go back and get them because we became so accustomed to the pain that comes with them that doing something different is a little scary for me. So I'll just ask somebody, say, I'm just staying in this relationship. Girl, I don't care if he's cheating stuff. We've been together so long. I said, well, I'm in my 50s, and if he cheats, he's gone.
Well, they want to grow. You know, growth is painful for a lot of folks. So that was my good morning post this morning. Be proud of your growth because it takes work and effort to grow. So if you've come from point A, I need you to be proud of that. There is nothing wrong with growth. But yeah, I've run into some folks, they get so complacent and so comfortable, but then at the core, they're afraid. They're living in fear. They don't want to do anything different. And also, those are the women, I'm telling you, that will try their best. Oh my goodness. And I've had ladies come up to me, you know, I've been getting off stage and here comes somebody and they're pulling their heart. And if you catch me, I'll say, you put your heart out to me, I'll take all my shoes and go talk. Because that's the quickest way to be like, because I've been there. And it's always women they know, family, sisters. I've had women say their mothers are jealous. You got to understand, just because someone is related to you or in your circle, that does not mean they cannot do harm to you. Mm-hmm. And I need for you all again, some of y'all listening, some specific, one of them just comment, hi darling, I know for a fact you are growing your vision. I want you to be so comfortable and so secure in what you're doing that that type of stuff doesn't throw you off your mark. Because the closer you get to what God has for you, the closer you get to your the end point of your vision, or this particular, they come at you so much. You are this far from your success, and here they come. And that's to throw you off your mark. So understand, when all that's coming, that means you are doing what you are supposed to do. You are working. You're working God's plan. You're working your plan. You're working your vision. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to. And now the enemy's scared, so we got to throw things at you. So they might use those girlfriends, the family, the sister, the mom, to throw you off your mark.